This is study 179 in our study of wisdom. And we also using Workman's Interlinear by Jack Everly. And Jack is a good friend of ours and his wife too. And they passed on a couple of years ago, or 3 or 4 years now. I can't remember offhand, but but it's good that we still have their literature and we are still in the business of using it too. And so we're in Titus 3, back in Titus 3, and I'm going to read. We just done one verse last week, but we talked about some other stuff too, and we might talk a little more about it tonight. I'm going to do a couple of verses, and we'll see how much time we got left. Might fill it in with that. But looking back at the third chapter of Titus, we started there last week, and I'm going to read the first verse again in order to do verses 2 and 3 for sure. And it says, "Put them in mind." And this is those that Titus is getting the option to testify to, according to the grace of God that brings salvation that appeared to all men. So that's the them there in 3:1. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." And we discussed that a little bit, and our part of our law situation is pretty much kind of like Israel's was at the day, because most of their laws began with a visit to the magistrate. Someone generally in the community that had the power to write writs and warrants and all that stuff. And a lot of times these papers said, "Bring the body of so-and-so to the magistrate." Well, I never got a body there, but I got some people that I kind of wish were in the body. But come to find out, with that thing, you was kind of doomed, because if you got between two individuals that couldn't sort out their differences, a lot of times the third man was just, sometimes they would all leave and you didn't have any. If you had one friend out of two, then you wound up sometimes even without that friend, because it was according to how things fell out, the way things work. And then I had the opportunity also to witness to those that come wanting a bond sign. They would bring somebody to go their bond, and quite often these guys weren't real social individuals in the community.
Well, they were social, just in the wrong way.
Yeah, and a lot of times I had the opportunity to tell them a little bit about Christ while I was there, and to get them to realize that some of the things they were involved in could get them killed. And the fact that he had children, but that didn't seem to really, one of the guys I'm thinking about, it didn't seem to help him much, because he never saw his children get grown anyway. He did die from his problems, and it's a wonder he hadn't been That hadn't happened a long time before that, but his luck ran out. And so he was my next door neighbor's people. So I felt a little duty there for my neighbor to put in a good word for the love of Christ on his account too. And my neighbor needed it also. So that helped there. But the magistrates and the principalities and powers that are here are kind of the same type of people that were ruling this world there. And so we'll just get to verse 2. Verse 2 says, and this is to Titus, as to how he should deal with these, them, the people he called them in verse 1 of 3. Put them in mind, okay? And this is how it was to be done. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So this was the marching orders for Titus, kind of like Timothy. Things didn't change a whole lot from one to the other. So Titus is just a little older than Timothy was. And I think Paul really looked at that as being the grown up in the group. Because sometimes Timothy would be left to do things and he'd get involved in other stuff a little bit, and Paul would kind of dress him down a little from time to time. But that's kind of younger folks, you know, they sometimes are not settled like the older ones off. So Titus here was a little different. So he, we look at that just a little bit, more on the side of age than anything else, because I believe both of them surely was believers but these two people here, Titus and Timothy, both were the ones that basically that Paul was looking to carry this mystery truth on after he was gone, because Paul was an old man already also, and he knew his time was about up, and because he said so in 2 Timothy, and so therefore these seem to be very sound words that Paul is speaking to Titus here. And let's just take them a little bit each, but I'll go over and read you my notes first, and it doesn't change a whole lot. It says to speak evil of no man or no one. And that there, that no one is medes in the Greek, I guess, probably didn't do it right. But, and it talks about no brawler. Somebody that, is to do the work of Christ and to do the things for Christ's name in way of testimony or teaching, should not be one that, you would find somewhere, living a life that, one might consider to be a brawler, or someone that was to be contentious.
Couldn't get along with anybody.
You know, to not do it in a way of argument or fighting or anything like that, but to do it to show the love of God in yourself to the point where that person would realize that what you're teaching or telling them that is commendable, can be something that could be applied to their life if they so desired to do that. And that's what it is meant to be. Someone that couldn't get along with other people is not a good attribute for somebody that has a testimony of Christ, because you should show love, and I should show love in all things. And the point of being able to be a good testimony to those that we meet and talk to. And there it says, but in that and two, to be no brawler, but gentle. But gentle. And it means to be patient. And showing all meekness or good fidelity. And patient there is one of the words that we used in our final study last week, and it is genteel or genteel. G-E-N. And that's another word like the word Genesis that we're going to might talk a little bit about tonight, that the G-E-N is the part of the word that it is meaning of, and it is of God toward mankind. Because these things, especially in Genesis, that we get involved with, a lot of it is genealogy. Because it says these are the generations. And genealogy and generations kind of go together. Both of them have the G-E-N in it. So that's of God to mankind. But then the word turns around and told us not to be taken with genealogy, because if you're taken with genealogies, you can get tied up with that rather than getting tied up with the Word of God.
Amen.
And so therefore, it only goes so far that one needs to go in that to keep from, you know, it becoming, it's kind of like addiction to a crossword puzzle or a jigsaw puzzle. It takes up a lot of your time when you could be doing something for the Lord. And so this is another aspect of this, that to be gentle or genteel, ever how you want to. But it means to be patient. And also showing all meekness. And this equals to good fidelity. You can't go at it as warfare and expect to get anything from it or get anything done. Because the, generally, if you're in the process of making decisions for people that can't make decisions for themselves, they're not very gentle to start off with. You generally don't have them there. If that be the case, they could iron it out. And this was what Paul preached to the Corinthians about, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He was there to straighten them out, because everything they got involved in, they went to the magistrate or the local judge or someone that had jurisdiction. And he said, if you have the love of Christ in your heart, you need to straighten it out one with the other. You don't need to go to get anybody else involved in it. But they were doing that pretty heavily, especially in 1 Corinthians, for a while, to that point. And he was trying to make that point all the time. The good fidelity unto all men. And, or all people, because in this day and age, it seems like when we get the arrest report in the newspaper, there's as many women in it now as there are men. That didn't used to be the case. But over the last few years, it seems to have changed greatly that way. And I look at them every day because some of them are still my old, I call them customers because they couldn't live without something going on, being involved. And whether they was on the right side or the wrong side, they just wanted to be involved, I guess. And that's the way things are, in the world. And that's the worldly things that we look at. But here, you gotta take them as you get them. And so that's, every time you get the opportunity, you need to put the love of Christ in the picture, because a lot of times they don't have the love of Christ in their mind or in their heart. And I hate to say that, but that's the way it was with me, and that's been a long, long time ago. That's been 40 years ago. And I finally figured out that, yeah, I wasn't designed for magistrate job. I'd rather teach the word of God rather than be a magistrate. But you do whatever you need to do to put food on the table. And part of that was I could do it part time. But a lot of times the part time come at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, or maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And, because I got up a lot of times when the sheriff was sitting in my couch in the living room at home. We lived there 14 and a half years, and I didn't have a key for the house.
Didn't either.
It never was locked up. No, because my dog made sure of that. But now the sheriff could come in and sit down, and my dog, I guess, would lick at his hand or something, because he could get around my dog real easy. But other people would come and they wouldn't even get out of the vehicle. I went outside. So this is how the sheriff was in the day and in the time. Okay. Brother Jack, let me read what he came up with in verse 2. And we'll read his, and then we'll read what he wrote, and then we'll look at the scripture that goes with that, like we have been doing for 2 or 3 years with these verses of scripture. And in the Koine Greek, which I can't read very much of, but Jack has brought it down to the English out of the Koine Greek, verse 2. And it says, no one to speak evil of, not contentious, to be gentle, all showing meekness towards all men. And then Jack brings it on down to a more modern English, and we get some of this shows up in the King James Version. It says, to speak evil of no one, not contentious, to be gentle to, all showing meekness toward all men. And so that's the way that works out. And here's Jack's notes. And there's Not a lot. He doesn't go into big, great detail, but what he does get involved in, and there's a lot of thought went into it. And it said, body members are not these who are looking for trouble. And I certainly would like to agree with that, but I know that the old man gets to us sometimes, and we find us in spots and places and say things that we shouldn't do. But we've got to remember the basics here. And they are not those who are found in contentious contention. So it's one thing to kind of let your mind wander a little bit, but we don't want to be continuous contentions in things. Like I just mentioned, some of my regular customers I had. Because I had 8 or 10, and it wasn't 3 or 4 of them you could count on every month to be on the book with something. And they were found to be continuous contention, but you got to take it as to where they were in the world and what they understood, and realize that we all were not believers. They are more apt to be gentle, those body members he's talking about. They will show meekness to their fellow man. This does not speak to the world's idea of strength. And boy, is that a great statement in today's age. It seems like everybody wants the gavel in their hand, or everybody wants to be the top number, whatever it is their position is in the government. This does not speak to the world's idea of strength. They are not braggarts or blusterers. They may seek to avoid fights. Saving their strength for the necessary combats. So you see, we all have these situations in this whole world, and we're dealing with a lot of people that don't have any understanding of God or the love of God or what God can do for them or will do for them if they will believe it. Because he just told Titus in 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. So God gave his son's blood and his breath for our sins and paid for our sins, that we may have a relationship with God in a righteous manner, because God doesn't deal with unholy things. When you accept Christ and become an adopted son of God, then you can have an association with his son and hope to have a same relationship with the Father. Because that's the reason, you know, that God told Moses at the burning bush to take his shoes off. The ground you stand on is holy ground. He made that holy. When Mary was put this single cell being in her womb, that place that they did that was holy because they took her sin away. And she became a holy person in order to have Christ, because he had no sin. Otherwise, he would have been unholy, in need of a change. But his change was what God was doing by him for us. And so therefore, he had no sin. He couldn't die until he took my sins and your sins and the sins of the world away, knowing that all of them wouldn't believe that. But yet, he did that very thing. They may seek to avoid the fight, saving their strength for the necessary combats. Because sometimes when one gets confronted with the Word of God, then they feel like that is another part of the thing that they don't want to give up. So the combat still goes on in those senses. So Jack was right on the money, I think, when he wrote that. But let's look at the scriptures that goes along with it. And we're going to do that like we've been doing too. And we're going to start in Matthew in chapter 2, because Matthew is the first one. There wasn't any back to the Old Testament, but we're going to go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, says this in verse 2. He says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, when he was with the multitudes, and he went up to a mountain, and his disciples come. And he said, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, full stop. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Verses 2 through 8 of Matthew 5. Now, that was promises. And in the sense of Scripture, that was promises. Now, Galatians. Oh, I didn't give you the page number. Sorry about that, Doherty. Galatians 5, we're going to look at 5:22 through 25 in Galatians.
You're off the hook. I don't think she made it tonight.
Huh?
I said you're off the hook. I don't think she made it tonight.
Okay. Galatians 5:22-25 And let's see, it's on page 1757. And it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So that's what was given to us in Galatians. And the temperance there, I've made a particular note there in 23 on temperance. That is self-control. And it takes the love of Christ a lot of times to give you, or the Holy Spirit, to give you self-control. Because a lot of times you get it in your mind, you want to say something, and then you get your mind changed right quick. Whether you understand it or how it works or how you believe it or not, that sometimes takes place for sure. Okay. We're going to go to Ephesians 4. I think, let's see. Yeah, Ephesians 4:1. I always like to go to Ephesians, whether it's the first chapter or the last. We want to look at Ephesians 4. 1-3. Therefore, Paul says, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring or steady to keep the unity or the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1-3. Okay, that was on page 1765. I've kind of got out of the habit.
It's supposed to be rubbing off on me, not the other way around.
Yeah. And then Colossians 3:12-14. Well, that's not hard to find. 3:12-14. And that is on page 1785. I got that one. Okay, and let's look at 12-14. It says put on, or Jack says put on therefore, or Paul says that, but Jack points us to it. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on the love, which is the bond of perfectness. So that's what we have there in Colossians. And we got one more, the book of James. And the book of James, let's see if we can find it right quick. We're going to look at James 1:21. It says, wherefore lay apart. Therefore lay apart. And this is on page 1849. All filthiness lay aside or put it away. And superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror.
Just a reflection.
You're looking at yourself as a reflection. So that is good words to go by in James. That was on 1849. And that was verse 2. Now, let's go back to Titus. Okay, we're back to Titus. Let's go back and look at verse 3. I'm going to read 3 out of the King James Version. Titus 3:3. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. This is what the world can do for us in a normal way. And sometimes we allow it to happen without really thinking about it, until the Holy Spirit gets after us. And then that becomes a different story. And now let me read you my notes on that one. We there has been added to it. And it says, for ourselves also were sometimes, or at one time at least, and at one time might have been part of your life, foolish. Because what God did for us that we could not do for ourselves, Christ, was 2,000 years ago. And Paul says to Titus again, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all. Mm-hmm. So, there was a time that we lived in foolishness. And I did too, certainly. At one time, foolish. To be unwise or act unintelligent. Or also as one who despised other people or another person. And quite often, in a situation like that, we have those that we cannot get along with. Or seemingly, somewhere in your lifetime, something come about that caused us to look differently at other people. And I think if you talk to people and they were honest about it, everybody's kind of got somebody that they just don't care anything much about. But that certainly doesn't keep one from trying to right that wrong. And so this is what we're talking about here, to right these wrongs. And this is what Paul is talking to Titus about. To right the wrong that the world has laid into our, in front of us to walk through. Sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient, sometimes deceived, and that was our regular life quite often. Disobedient, deceived. And when you go back and you look at some of these other scriptures here, the circumcision, God's people that's supposed to know the things about God because it was given to them to know them and to teach them. But it says the circumcision often professed to know God, but when it comes right down to it, they were unruly and vain talkers, and in works denied him. Serving divers lusts. And pleasures. The condition of being a slave. Because if you're not in the will of God, then you're a slave to Satan. That's the only way you can look at it. And that's how, this is how Paul is getting Titus to get the understanding and show it in his testimony to other people. If you're not God's and you're Satan's, you're part of the rule of Satan. Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to take the place of God. Living in malice and envy. Malice and envy. An evil nature and jealousy. Hateful. Hating one another. Boy, that doesn't sound like a real good list of things. And see, it's right opposite of the things that we read in the previous verse of scripture when we went to look at the things concerning that. I'm going to have to hurry to get done with this. Okay. Well, let's look at Jacks. Let's look at 3. Out of the Koine Greek, it says, were for once also we without intelligence. Certainly that's true. The intelligence comes from the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Disobedient, led astray, serving lust and pleasures, various, in malice and envy living, hateful, hating one another. Well, I remember those days. I didn't like them then really, but I certainly don't like them now. And bring that on down to the more modern English, for we also were once without intelligence. Disobedient, led astray, serving lust and various pleasures, in malice and envy, living hatefully, hating one another. And here's Jack's notes. The attitudes and activities of the world are described in this verse of Scripture. Pleasures, vanity, hatred, malice are well known in our lives. When Christ is known, these things diminish or should go away. Paul is combating these lusts as John once did. And it says, see 1 John 2:15, 16. And we're going to add that to our list. And we're going to look at it. Hatred in its various forms is well known and accepted by Satan's minions. That's something you can't deny. Because that's where God does not go. He does not condone that. And he's not going to stand with it.
All the traits of the anti-type.
Yeah. Because this is This is the thing that we got into in Genesis. And God showed pity on us because He put us in the battle between Him and Satan. And pity was changed in one word by one letter. The word E. And it's, that is piety. P-I-E-T-Y. Here, Paul is telling Titus, kindly as he told Timothy, with the women that were widows, that somebody in the room has to be the grown up there. And the difference between piety is piety, or pity is piety. And if you look at it as P-I-E-T-Y, and that's power into energy through you, P-I-E-T-Y, to be grown up, to be the grown up in the group. Lots of times we have to do that with our children. And lots of times people don't think about that. And lots of times that's the reason that they have a lot more problems with their children than they should have, and with other people also. Sometimes you just got to be the grown up in the crowd. You've got to change your way of looking and seeing and doing things and do it for the Lord instead of for the world. Because we just discussed how the world was, and there has to be the balance, as Ronnie puts it in his studies. There has to be some balance here. And this is the balance. And that word is only used twice. And Paul used it to Timothy, and he used it here to Titus. To be the grown up in the group. Okay, let's look at our verses of scripture. Okay. We're going to start off in Romans. Romans 8. Everybody knows where Romans 8's at. I've got a plaque in my living room that gives me some of Romans 8. And it says, we're going to look at 7, 8, and 9 of Romans 8. And that's on page 1677. I'm getting better. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, that Spirit's job is to keep you on the straight and narrow. Sometimes we give the Spirit trouble. It says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
We grieve it quite often.
Yeah. We can grieve him, but he don't leave us. Okay. Think about that. Okay. Now, we're going to go from Romans 8 back to Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, here we're going to look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In verse 32, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those are great words, good words, and we can't get enough of them sometimes. 2 Timothy We're going to go to 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy 3. And we're going to look at 6 to 8. On 18:12. 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 8. It says, "For of this sort," speaking of those that have a form of godliness, but denying the power, "are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth." Full stop. "Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." So a lot of times they will put on a good front to get in and to try to do their dirty works without being held responsible. Okay, we want to go to James, two places in the book of James, and we're going to 1849 on the page. If you have a companion Bible, right after Hebrews, it is James 1, 20 to 22 on 1849. James 1. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which are able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceive your own selves." And again, we didn't we read the other verse a while ago, but we didn't read it this time. That was, if you look like a man looking into a glass, beholding his natural face in the glass, he is looking back at himself. And then there's another one in 4, James 4. In James 4, it says this, 1-4, 4:1-4, on page 1852. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." Full stop. "Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" And then there's one other that he asked, that Jack asked, that we look at. And that's 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, we're going to look at 15 and 16. And we'll close. Right on the money. almost. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, full stop. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you see, there's the pros and the cons here, and God doesn't usually give you one without showing you the other, because it's kind of like holding your hands up. They look the same, but they're opposite. Always opposite. And so that's what that's what he gave me to give to you this day. And so we are certainly hopeful that we did that in a sense and in a way that makes sense. And I'll keep the rest that I had to say until another time, because it's here on the page and it's worthwhile. I'll give it to you sometime. And that'll be free of charge. So thank you for being with us tonight. And it's been a good day, although it's rained. But we still need water. And that is how God refreshes us with his gifts. Because as I said last week, that's part of the hydrogen and oxygen. And that water is always on the move. It has power within itself. And it can be manifest in three ways. And it's great power either way you look at it. It can be ice that cannot be broken. It can be steam that cannot be harnessed very much. And it can be water in the ocean that
does whatever
can take care of a varied amount of problems, or can cause a lot of problems. But that's some of his gifts to us, because it's these renewable things that we can do. And now we understand that we can be renewed through Christ Jesus. That we can be bought back. And it's important. And I've been looking at stuff to bring to you to help us do that too. But I ran out of time today. We'll do it again. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your time. Because it's important. God has given us so much time, and we need to make it all important. Amen. For his glory. God bless.